As we approach God's throne, will you bow your heads with me? Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we do thank you that you reach out to us right now, that you're listening to our hearts, Lord. Help us to listen to yours. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I readily admit that there should be some sort of law of preaching against this opening story. And if there is, I'm going to break it. I shouldn't be allowed to talk about school and grades in the summertime. Can you say amen? You shouldn't be allowed to do that. It just doesn't seem right, but I'm going to break that law. Last fall, after Ethan had spent a few months there at College View Academy, he came home with his first report card from school. And his mom, Jeanette, and I were beaming with parental pride as we saw his grades. And he looked at them and then he told us very seriously, he said, "I don't want to get anything but A's. I'm just going to get straight A's." And Jeanette and I looked at each other. She gave me one of those sideways glances. She said, "You know where he gets that from, right?" I said, I know. It's probably Pastor Andy at the church, you know. It's amazing the influence that youth pastors have on children. And she said, "No, think again. I think it's another pastor at church." So I thought about it and said, "Wow, I didn't realize that Pastor Ryan was so focused on grades." Nah, just kidding a bit. My boy is like me. He's determined to ace everything, and so I must confess that. But we visited with him after he made that confession, and we said, "You know, we're happy that you want to just get A's. That's great. But as long as you do your best, we'll be happy even if you bring home a B. We'll be happy with that. As long as you do your best, or even a C, as long as it's his best." But all this discussion about grades made me think about a church. What kind of report card should a church strive for? You ever thought about that? And as I studied and as I looked into this, I believe that a healthy church needs to get not straight A's, but straight B's is what we need to have. This morning, let's look at a couple of stories of Jesus' interaction with people. And we're going to discover the three B's for God's followers and for his church. Let's look and see how Jesus interacts with people. If you turn with me in your Bibles, our first story we're going to look at is in John chapter 4. And let's figure out what the three B's are. Turn with me to John chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 6 and 7 and watch how Jesus interacts with people. John chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, "And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour." That's what we would call noontime. "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.'" So a woman comes to a well at noontime, which is actually unusual. You wouldn't typically come at that time of day. That's the hot part of the day. You'd typically come to draw water early in the morning or maybe late at night when things had cooled off. She comes at noontime, and Jesus is there, and he asks her for a drink. No big deal, right, for him to ask her that? No, that was a very big deal for him to do that. Very big deal. Look at verse 9 and see what happens. "Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?' For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus was speaking to a woman. And if that wasn't shocking enough, he's speaking to a Samaritan woman nonetheless. Jesus begins this interaction with a woman who did not belong even in her own hometown. That's why she's there at noon. And Jesus talks to her, showing her that she belongs. Now keep your finger there in John. We'll come back to that. But turn with me to our scripture reading this morning. Let's look at another story. And let's watch and see if we can find a pattern in how Jesus interacts with people. Turn with me back to Luke chapter 19. And let's see who we find here. We just looked at a woman who had a sketchy past, and now we're going to look at a guy who's got a sketchy past and present. Luke chapter 19, verse 2 says, "And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." So in this story, we've got a tax collector, a rich guy. Are these guys popular back in this time? No. These are not the type of folks that you'd be inviting over for dinner. These are the guys who are not well thought of. They're tax collectors. They're seen as rough and uncaring. They're what my daughter would call, "Daddy, he's a mean guy." That's what she would call him. And she'd probably be right. The people then hated tax collectors. They were seen as traitors because they were working with the Romans to collect taxes. In verse 4, we find Zacchaeus. He climbs up a tree in order to see Jesus. In verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." There's old Zacchaeus up in the tree, and Jesus says, "Get down." And he invites himself over. Again, no big deal for Jesus to do that, right? What do you think? Is that a big deal? You bet it is at this point in time. Verse 7, look at what people say. People start whispering, grumbling in verse 7. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Big deal. Going to have lunch at the tax collector's house. But again, Jesus shows us in this story that the wee little man who does not fit in Roman society because he's a Jew and does not belong in Jewish society because he works for the Romans, this outcast named Zacchaeus belongs to Jesus. And friends, this is the first B that a church needs to receive in order to be a healthy church and a growing church. It needs the B of belonging. That's the first one we have to have. Zacchaeus and the woman were both sinners. And notice, Jesus shows that they belong before any change happens in them, doesn't he? He reaches out to them before there's any change. So what's our next B this morning? Well, we don't get to hear about Jesus' conversation with Zacchaeus. Luke leaves that out. But is Zacchaeus changed by this interaction? You bet he is. Look what he calls Jesus in verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped and said to him, "Lord." Behold, Lord. He's already calling him Lord. He's already changed his mind on who Jesus is. And in verse 9, Jesus says, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham." He says he's a saved son of Abraham. Zacchaeus has changed his beliefs. Now, he doesn't just believe in money. He believes in Jesus. So turn with me back to John 4, and let's see what happens with this lady that we started off with this morning. John chapter 4, in verse 16 and 18. We're going to watch what happens to this lady. John chapter 4 in verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." It's probably the last thing that this lady wanted to hear from Jesus. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, "You have said correctly, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands. And the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly." Jesus reveals to this lady that he knows all about her sketchy past. He knows everything, every detail of it. But even with that knowledge, Jesus calls her to believe in him. Look at verse 25. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." He calls her to believe in him. And in verse 29, did she believe in him? Well, she runs off and she says, come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? And the way she phrases that in the language is she's looking for a positive answer. She says, I think this is the guy. She has changed her belief on a Jewish man who asked for a drink. See, after Jesus shows them that they belong, the next B that he does is he calls them to believe. And that's the next B that a church needs to have. He invites them to believe something different, to believe in him. So what's our third B this morning? We've got two of them figured out. What's the third B? Well, look at verse 28 with me here in John 4. So the woman left her water pot. The reason she came, she drops it. That no longer matters anymore. She leaves the water pot and went into the city and said to them, come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? And who's she telling there? She's telling everybody that she runs into. Everybody. This woman who came to the well at what time? Noontime, because she didn't want to be seen. She didn't want to be there when all the other ladies were there talking and whispering, perhaps pointing at her. She comes at noontime to hide in the noonday sun. But now, she's going and talking to everyone in town. And in verse 30, we find that she brings a crowd of people out to see Jesus. So what happened to this woman? She went from hiding in the sun to becoming a town crier or a town herald. You got to come and see this. I met this guy. Come on. Is she changed? You bet she is. She's bringing others to meet God's son, the one who helped her belong. Now turn with me back to Luke and let's see what happened there. Luke chapter 19. What happened with little Zacchaeus after he came out of the tree? Luke chapter 19 and verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Is this a changed man? You better believe it. His behavior has done a complete 180 from when we saw him in the tree. From cheating and stealing, now he says, I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor. Can you imagine writing that check? Look at what's in your bank account. I'm going to take half of that and I'm giving it away. And then he says, if I've cheated anybody, and if he was a tax collector, he probably cheated a lot of people. So I'm going to turn it back to him four times as much. Zacchaeus is going to change how he deals with people and with money. So what's our third B this morning? Well, the third B of a healthy church is not just a place where belonging happens and believing happens, but it's also a place where behaving happens too. However, friends, the secret of a healthy church is not just having straight B's. You have to get them in the right order if you want to be a healthy church. This 180-degree turnaround did not happen with the tax collector until Jesus calls him out of the tree and out of the crowd and shows Zacchaeus that he belonged by going to his house. Our Samaritan woman's behavior, it changes immediately, but only after Jesus shows her that she belongs and calls her to believe in him. So folks, we all need to realize this morning that an unhealthy church will have the three B's also. The difference is that they will have the B's in the wrong order. The healthy church will use Christ's method, which is belong, believe, behave. That's how Jesus worked with people. An unhealthy church will change the order to something more like this. Behave. As soon as you walk in the door, you better start behaving. You better start changing. And after you've changed enough, eventually we're going to try to change what you believe. And then once you're believing right and you've been here long enough and we put you through the screws and everything, then maybe you'll belong. Same three B's. completely different order. And it makes a difference in what type of church we have. When someone comes to the church, what order will they find the bees? It'll determine whether or not they stay. Question is this morning, when does a person belong at church? Is it when they hold an office in the church? Is it when they get baptized in the church? Is that when they belong? Or when they believe correctly? No, friends. They belong when they first walk in the door. Can you say amen? And friends, that's why I'm excited to be a part of this church and to be a pastor of this church, because I think we got the bees in the right order. Amen? See, the problem comes when a church and its members either verbally or non-verbally communicate to new people that you don't belong, you aren't one of us, until you change and be like us. There are things we do as a church that will help people belong right from the start. And I think we're doing them, and that's why I'm so happy to be here. But folks, when we stand up to preach or to teach, we must always assume that in the congregation, in the crowd, there is somebody new out there. Amen? We have to believe that there's a Samaritan woman out there, that there's a Zacchaeus out there, maybe one of you up in the balcony. Maybe you're Zacchaeus this morning. We have to assume that, because if we don't assume that there's someone new out there, eventually there will be no one new out there. It has to always be in our minds. I know a pastor who told his members, he was trying to get this church that hadn't been growing for years, he was trying to get it to grow. He told them, when someone new comes in the church, talk to them about Jesus and Jesus alone for the first year. Don't talk to them about nothing else, just Jesus for the first year. And make sure that that is rock solid, a foundation to build upon. Just Jesus. Don't focus on all the things that need changing. Focus on Him. So, when should a person belong? Well, I know another pastor who was doing a baby dedication. And the baby dedication was just for a young single mother. And she wasn't connected to the church at all. She didn't come, but she came for the baby dedication because her parents were members of the church. And grandma and grandpa wanted that baby dedicated. So she sheepishly walked into the church with her baby to do the dedication. Hadn't been there in a long time. They hadn't seen her in a long time. And so while she was there, the pastor walked her down to the beginner Sabbath school room, the cradle roll Sabbath school room. And he was showing her around, and he told the young mom, he said, "You know, we need someone to tell the story in here next week. Would you do that for me?" And she said, "Oh, no, I can't do that. I'm not a good reader." He said, "That's okay. They can't read in here themselves. So they won't mind a bit." And so she said, "Okay, I guess." She came back that next week, and she read the little story for them as they ate their snacks. A year later, she was rebaptized in that church and eventually became the teacher in the beginner cradle roll Sabbath school. This young, unwed mother, she belonged as soon as she came in the door. Now, friends, the three B's are not about church membership. Don't misread me here. It's not about that. It's about helping someone belong and feeling part of the family even before they become a member of the church. So maybe the question is this morning, well, Pastor, how do we do that? And if we're doing it, how do we make sure we continue to do it? How do we do it even better than we have been doing? How do we get the three B's in the right order? Well, three ways we do it. First off, folks, it takes a very tough word. Tough word in the English language. It takes patience. And that's why the Lord gives us children. Amen? And ladies, that's why the Lord gives you men. Teach us patience. I first started studying the Bible years ago, and I started opening the Bible and studying it in 1995, a few years back. And then I got baptized. It wasn't in 1995 or 6. Or 7. I got baptized in 1999. 4 years later. People don't always change as quickly as we think they should. Amen? But I want you to think about the changes that take place in the person before they can join. It's not easy. You're talking about changing your whole way of looking at things, whole way of looking at life. That doesn't just happen overnight to some of us. Some of us are slow learners like me. It's not easy. But my friends, they must belong even before their behavior and beliefs change. So what's the second aspect of learning this and getting the bees in the right order? First is patience, and then we also need courage. It's going to take courage to get the bees in the right order, is it not? Let me put you to the test. What would you do if people like that came to our church and sat next to you during Sabbath school? What if you saw them on the bus or in the doctor's office? Would you invite them to your church, to VBS? Do you want folks like that coming to your church? And just so you know, I'm the one in the middle. That's me. Takes courage, doesn't it? I knew a pastor at a coffee house. Years ago, he would go there, and that's where he would study with the seminary books. And while he was in line to pay for everything that he was getting, there was a guy behind him wearing a Marilyn Manson t-shirt. Not me, just a guy wearing a Marilyn Manson t-shirt. And the guy saw the books, and he realized what he was. He realized he was studying to be a pastor. And so this guy says, "Oh, you must be one of those religious types, huh?" So this young pastor, seminarian, didn't quite know what to say. So he said, No, I'm not one of those religious types. In fact, I hate religious people. And not just me, Jesus couldn't stand religious people either. But you wouldn't want to know about that. So this guy said, "Wait a second. Jesus didn't like religious people?" He said, "No, he didn't, but you wouldn't care about that." "No, wait a second. Tell me about that." And just the way he approached him, he had Marilyn Manson t-shirt dude asking him to tell him about Jesus. Amen? They may not look like they care, but they do. "What do you mean?" And of course, his point was that the people that Jesus got on the hardest were the religious folks, the Pharisees and the scribes. Those were the ones that took his harshest rebukes. Not the Samaritan woman, not the tax collector, not the prostitute. So what does it take to be a church that Jesus wants us to be? We've got to get the three B's in the right order. That takes patience, that takes courage, and it also takes God's eyesight. It takes his eyes. For the things that we see that need changing in a person are only symptoms of bigger issues. Amen? And sometimes we focus on the outside of things, and that's not where God's looking. We got to look where he's looking. Where are we focused? Is it on the inside of people or on the outside things? I love this quote from Mrs. White. It may be hard to read, so let me read it for you. It says, "They try to pick off the ornaments or whatever seems offensive, but they do not seek to fasten the mind to the truth. Those who seek to correct others should present what? The attractions of Jesus. They should talk of his love and compassion, present his example and sacrifice, reveal his spirit. Talk of Christ, and when the heart is converted, everything that is out of harmony with the word of God will drop off." Amen. She says, don't go around picking things off of people. Don't go around picking at each other, but present Christ. And friends, this isn't about turning a blind eye to things. It's about using God's eyesight. As God said to the prophet in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks where? At the heart." Where are we looking when we see people today? A young man walks into a sports arena all alone. He's wearing the jersey of the team, and when the plays are happening and the team is winning, he's high-fiving everybody around him. A young woman straightens her top and her short skirt as she walks into a bar alone. to find the dance floor. An older lady walks into a church, tries to go unnoticed as she slips into the back row, and listens to the sermon. What do these three individuals have in common? What does everybody walking the planet today have in common? Well, deep down in the very essence of what it means to be a human, we are all looking for connection. Essentially, that's what we're all looking for. Some may go to the sports arena, others to the bar. Some will go to the mall or the park. Some will go to online gaming. But deep down, we are all looking to connect with something, with someone, to be part of something bigger than ourselves. So how will we as a church connect people to the one who will truly meet their needs, to the one who told you and I, you belong to me? How will we help them connect to Jesus? Friends, I'm excited about the report card that this church has. And as we move forward in the future, I want us to continue to get straight B's. And I want us to get them in the right order. Belong. As soon as they walk in the door. No matter what they look like. No matter what they believe. No matter what they've been doing. Belong first. Amen? And then teach them. And show them Jesus in order that they might believe the truth. And finally, allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives, to change their behavior so that they too can be like Jesus. And then maybe they can go and find someone else and help them belong too. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, so much that you from heaven left there to come to a wayward world to show people and to show the universe that we could still belong to you. Thank you, Lord, for looking at each of our lives and looking past the yuck and past the muck and all the things we've done wrong. Thank you, Lord, for seeing us up in the tree and calling us down. Thank you for seeing us trying to hide at the well and talking to us. Lord, help your people, help your church, help all of us to remember that we serve a God who is reaching out to this world, to our neighbors, to our friends. Help us, Lord, today to know. So maybe there's someone out there today who doesn't feel like they belong anywhere. Help them, Lord. Help us all to know that when we walk in the doors of this place, we belong. We belong to you. We belong here. And Lord, continue to change us because you're not done with any of us yet. But you have promised that you who began a good work in us will complete it to the day of Christ's coming. So we hold on to that promise, Lord. Do your work. Help us to do ours of having our arms open, our hands outreached to connect with others and help them belong. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those willing to help others belong said, Amen.